following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome live to Halas Hall. It is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. We've got a first-timer on the show tonight, running back Benny Cunningham. And for those don't know, he's a fifth-year running back, came into the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of Middle Tennessee State. So you know he's earned every cent of being an NFL player, because it's not easy to come from the position that Benny came to be here, being here with the Bears. You might remember him back in 2013. He had a career-high 109 yards rushing against the Bears. And you might remember him from that Pittsburgh game where he was on the receiving end of the Pat O'Donnell touchdown, helping Pat get that 158.3 passer rating, which is as good as you can get. Benny, welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate you guys for having me, man. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
All right, let's get to it, because, Tom, you heard me say this before the game, that a lot of the players, your teammates, were talking about the inspirational speech that you delivered in the team hotel prior to the victory over Carolina. You used Will Smith's video brick by brick. Tell us how you came up with the idea, and then give us an idea of what that speech was like, what you prepared.
It was an honor, you know, to be able to speak in front of the team. You most definitely want to, you know, try to take into consideration the situation the team is in. And I just feel like at the time, we wanted to try to get two in a row and, you know, eventually, you know, get rolling, get on a win streak. And going into my senior year of college, my college roommate actually showed me the video. And later that season, I think it was maybe week six, I ruptured my patella tendon. And I'm just thinking in my head, 6 months before you're cleared to do football activities again. And, you know, I could look at the whole picture, or I could just take it one day at a time, like the video said. And it kind of became a reference to my life. And I just feel like it's something that you can apply, you know, with the team and kind of the situation we're in, thinking if we get three in a row, four in a row, just focus on one. You know, one day at a time, one play at a time. And I feel like it most definitely, you know, helped the guys out and, you know, came out with the victory. So, you know, it was a fortunate situation.
You know, in reference to your life, was there ever a time that you didn't believe that you belonged in the NFL? Because I think you play a unique position, because you see a lot of guys that are overrated at the running back position. Then you see a lot of great running backs that come in later rounds, Jordan Howard, free agents, have a great long careers in the NFL. Was there ever a time that you said, you know, talking to yourself that, you know, you had to convince yourself you belonged?
Not really, man. I feel like my rookie year, I was more starstruck than anything.
Right.
Going against the Patrick Willises, the Seattle Seahawks, Legion of Boom. Just being on the same field as those guys at the time was more of me just being starstruck, not necessarily me not belonging. But pretty much I feel like along the way, I've been around some great backs. You got Jordan Howard, Todd Gurley. You know, you can even go back to Zach Stacy. And just competing with those guys and working with those guys every day, it just kind of made me feel comfortable with myself. And if I'm not the guy, then be the guy that helps them. And I feel like that's kind of the role that I've taken on.
Well, I mean, your special teams role kind of is evident of your attitude, because there's a lot of guys that you know you've come across over the years that, I don't know if I want to contribute on special teams. That's not the way I want to make it. Look, that's the way that everybody has to make it. And I think it's even, you know, the respect they have for you. Here you are speaking to the team this early in your coming over to the Chicago Bears. You know, you've had to earn a lot of respect both from the coaches and the players in the locker room, and it's got to be a nice feeling when you go up there and talk in front of them.
Yeah, I most definitely, you know, think it's the ultimate, you know, honor and privilege to be able to speak to your teammates. And in a setting, you know, where all eyes are on you and everyone's listening to you before, you know, maybe the biggest moment of some lives.
Were you nervous?
Of course, yeah. Of course. You know, that's a big task, you know, to go out and talk to a group of grown men who put everything into this. And also, I'm not playing. So, you know, I'm just telling them, you know, what I feel, you know, in raw emotion. But to go back to kind of the special teams thing, I feel like I just have a genuine love for the game. When I signed up to play football at a young age, I didn't say I want to play running back, just running back, or I want to score touchdowns. I just wanted to play the game. And I feel like that really hasn't left me. Any opportunity I get to be on the field, you know, I cherish those moments.
Well, going back to your old school stats, you're quite a defensive player too. What was the separation that decided, okay, you're going to be a running back, you're not going to be a defensive player? Because I think there's so many great athletes in the NFL. Eventually there's that point where you pick where you're going to focus your attention.
Yeah, going into college, I had the opportunity to choose if I wanted to play defense or offense. And I met someone who I kind of refer to as my brother, which is Philip Tanner. He also went on to play, you know, in the NFL with the Cowboys, San Francisco, and the Bills for a short period of time. But just talking to him, he became like a mentor, knowing that he was a senior, so he would be leaving, and just the depth chart being open, that kind of, you know, is how I chose that. But it's worked out for me.
Well, you know, what's funny is Prince Amukamara doing a couple things with, and he was telling us a story that when he went to Nebraska, he went there thinking that he was going to be a running back. In the first day he went to meetings, they said, look, you go to the defensive backs room.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you get some of that bait and switch after they get done recruiting you. But, just seeing the stats that you had defensively, there had to be a point in time that you had to make that choice.
Yeah. But, I feel like it worked out for me. Still getting to play defense on special teams. So, it's all worked out for the best.
Yeah, see, that background does matter. But it's one of the cool things about going to a smaller school that you get the choice. Because if you had gone on to, say, Nebraska, that choice probably would have been made for you.
True. Most definitely, at a smaller school like Middle Tennessee, you get the opportunity. I wouldn't say we're just loaded on the depth chart with talent. So you got to fill in roles. One of the rules that our coach had was if you wanted to start, you had to start on the special teams at the skill position. So for a long time, I was a starting running back and starting kick returner. And that was just the way he put it in your head early. You have to play special teams, in a sense. And I feel like that's most definitely been beneficial to me and my career thus far.
And just keep in mind, Middle Tennessee State earlier this season beat Syracuse at the Carrier Dome, the same Syracuse team that upset number 2 Clemson.
And where you went to school.
Yeah.
Don't hide that fact.
Hey, listen, this is the Harvard for what I do, right? So anyway, let's get back to this speech because, you mentioned you were inactive for the game with the injury. So when did you find out that you were going to have to deliver the speech? And you talked about the pressure. I mean, it's a lot of pressure when you're not going to be joining your guys out there on the field.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like I'm more of a lead by example kind of guy. Not really liking to say much. Just go out, put my hard hat on, and, work. And letting the younger guys kind of see me work more than anything.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I have a lot to talk about with Benny Cunningham because I feel like you're the Dalai Lama of the Bears running backs room because both guys, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, very talented players, but in terms of NFL experience, they don't have what you have, and you can tell just being around, they look up to you, and the words that you have for them resonate. So we'll talk about that and who helped you become the kind of leader you are today. Plus, he played in St. Louis when the Rams were there,
right?
And I could have sworn that I used to see you in Cardinals gear. And then this year, he comes here to Chicago, and all of a sudden, I see him in Cubby Blue. We're going to discuss that next as well here on Bears All Access with Benny Cunningham on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Download the official Bears mobile app brought to you by Verizon and get your game face on with a new virtual face paint feature. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're live at Halas Hall for Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy. And our guest is Bears running back Benny Cunningham, who is, I don't think this is a stretch. You are the mentor inside the Bears running backs room to two really talented guys. We'll start with them. I know Michael Burton's in there as well, and he's another veteran, but when you look at Jordan Howard and you have an appreciation for the position, to me it is so impressive that everyone in the building, beginning when you start preparing Wednesday for the game, everyone in the building, in the world knows, you guys are handing Jordan Howard the ball. He's going to continue to run the ball. You got to stop him. They know it. And they can't do it.
Man, I just feel like his preparation. One of the first things I noticed when I got here, we were doing a walkthrough, and Jordan was still going up-tempo. And I'm just like, sheesh, like, it's a long season, and he's already doing this. But he's impressive, man, from the way he prepares during practice and the time he puts in just watching film and knowing that all eyes are going to be on him on Sunday is most definitely impressive. he's a warrior. To go out and, you know, take the beating week after week and being here first thing in the morning to take care of his body and get ready for the next Sunday is impressive.
Is there a difference between – you were just in L.A. with Gurley, and this guy was a high draft choice first-round running back, and then you see where Jordan was drafted, where Tariq Cohen was drafted, the path that you've taken. Michael Burton, I'm sure he was a free agent at one time in his career. Is there a difference in the room because of the humbleness of all you guys as opposed to when you have a room that the first guy in there is the high first-round draft choice that they have Hall of Fame, Pro Bowl, all these expectations on?
I feel like it's most definitely a humility in both rooms. I bet you if everyone could do it all over again, Jordan would be a first-round pick. You know, I feel like they missed on him. Once you watch his production from last season and you watch the things he's done throughout this season and he'll continue to do. I feel like it was humility in both rooms. Guys kind of feed off each other. Even them being younger than me, if there's anything they ever had to say or any criticism about my game, I welcome them to come forward. I feel like that's the, you know, best way for us to be successful, be open with each other. And I feel like it's been working out so far.
You know, when you have a pure fullback, which a lot of offenses don't have now, and you got the three halfbacks, three tailbacks, halfbacks, whatever, and then you got the one fullback. Do you guys make him sit on the different side of the room, or how does he interject inside the preparation? Because his job is different than yours.
I wouldn't necessarily say his job is different. If people watched the last game, he went in on some third downs for Jordan,
right.
And didn't miss a beat. Picked up every protection that he was asked to pick up. So I feel like he does a good job of preparing himself for everything. Probably wouldn't look as pretty as Tariq Jordan running the ball or running these routes, but I can bet you he knows them.
In the evolution of the game, are you a fullback guy or are you like a one back guy that kind of likes to predetermine where you want to go?
I'm gonna include Burton. I'm gonna say I'm a fullback guy. I can't throw my fullback.
I think he's doing a really great job. But it's unusual now because the NFL, if they get certain tight ends that play H-back, fullback, and stuff, and then maybe that position is changed. But he's been a really good fullback, and he contributes on special teams. He's got great enthusiasm every day. He went out there for training camp and everything. So, it's just different to see how a fullback fits into a running back's room nowadays.
I feel like he does a good job of learning both his work ethic, you know, on the field and in the weight room. He's just like a ball of energy, man. Him and Tariq, those guys practice harder than probably anybody I've ever seen. To go out and watch them to continue to do that and not miss a beat after playing however many snaps is impressive. And, you know, the team feeds off that. Coach always tells, you know, the running back room that it has to come from us. So whether it's in the weight room or watching film, we kind of want to, you know, set the bar high. And maybe guys will kind of try to reach the expectations that we set and, you know, continue to try to be the life of the offense.
All right. Give me an idea of what it was like the first time that you met Tariq Cohen. Because it's one thing for him, and the media knows this and fans know it, he's not shy. He's very confident. I think you have to be his size and be the kind of player he is. But in an NFL locker room, when a rookie exudes that kind of confidence, and initially here at Halas Hall, for people that don't know, rookies have to stay down in the basement. You have to earn the right to move up into the Bears veteran locker room. When he eventually made that move, what's it like? I mean, what are the veterans thinking? This guy's talking. This guy, I mean, he's nonstop.
When we first found out about Tariq, it took me a minute to register that he was the same kid from the famous backflip football catch video.
Yeah.
So when I connected the two, I'm like, well, he's most definitely athletic. But I feel like when he got here, he kind of let his play set the tone before he opened up his mouth.
So he was quiet.
He was quiet initially. And when he started, you know, opening himself up, letting the play kind of, you know, back up the talking, guys really didn't have a problem with it. You know, as long as you're doing it on the field, you can pretty much, you know, say whatever you want. And, you know, the running back room, we kind of got to be the older brothers and kind of, you know, make sure nothing happens to him. So, you know, we were kind of close from the beginning. But I feel like guys kind of take him well. Everybody knows that, you know, he means good. And just to, like, watch him work, a couple of times he got shouted out. He was the first rookie I ever seen get a vet day at camp because his numbers from practice were probably double, you know, the next highest person from how much he's running and how fast he's running during practice. The effort he's exuding throughout a practice was higher than anybody's. And just to know that he's doing it every day, man, you just stand behind a guy like that.
Are you familiar with Walter Payton?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay. Well, you know what? Because you think about the reputation of certain positions with the Bears over a period of time, and you know, Walter Payton, you know, 5'9", 205, similar to you. You're probably bigger than Walter, actually, and then you think of Tariq size. But you think of guys like that and what they mean to the overall history of a franchise. And so I don't know, you know, how much, you know, because you guys are young guys.
Yep.
And you're not sure how, you know, are you more familiar with Emmitt Smith than, you know, in his era? But, you know, what have you ever learned about him or understood about him according to the running backs room with the Chicago Bears?
So I had the chance to play under Skip Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Who was with the Bears, and he kind of used to give us light history lessons. Every Saturday, he would show highlights of, you know, running backs of his choice, and then we kind of alternate throughout the room. So, you know, I've seen kind of highlights of a lot of backs throughout my time, but Walter is always known, you know, as the GOAT.
Right.
The greatest to ever do it, the greatest back to ever put the cleats on, and, you know, that's just not up for debate. And that's before becoming a Bear. That was always a great deal.
Agree.
Yeah, Jim Brown and Walter Payton, and then there's everybody else, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you see Tariq Cohen out there on the practice field. I'm amazed by what he can do because I'm not the biggest guy. And he is shorter than me, obviously, a lot stronger than me. And you see the way these NFL defend. I mean, they're looking. I think they look to hit even harder when a guy looks small. And
yeah.
And I saw it in – it started really in the Arizona preseason game, when Frosty Rucker kind of threw him down, stares him down, and, you know, Tariq pops back up like it's nothing. As an NFL player, are you amazed at, A, the hits he takes and the punishment he delivers out there on the field, the things that he can do? Because he's not just a running back. He's a quarterback. He's a receiver. He's a little bit of everything.
Yes, it's most definitely a violent game, but I feel like he plays it with his heart. Anytime he gets hit hard or he loses a rep, he's just so much of a competitor that he'll never show it. He'll never let someone see that they got the best of him.
Right.
So, you know, when he comes back to the sideline, he'll joke with us like, he got me. You know, I lost that one. But he's always ready to go back at that person or go back at that defense or, you know, get his number called again. I remember Coach would do a Bears versus Bears two-point conversion, kind of like as a competition for push-ups. And the defense was up. It was the best of three. They had already won two, but Coach is like, we'll just do one more. And Tariq just spins back around, goes across field, scores. And that's when I just seen, like, his competitive energy, like, didn't matter. You know, we already lost. We already got to do push-ups. But it just showed his competitive side, and that was early. And I feel like, you know, you kind of see that on Sundays.
Right.
And he starts practices with backflips to get everybody going. I mean, he's literally responsible for everything.
You should learn how to do a backflip, Zach.
I think I could try once. It would not end well. I wouldn't be able to do it as many times as Tariq. I mean, he can – there's no one like him. Let's face it. There's no one like him in this league, and it's a real compliment to what he's been able to accomplish. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And, yeah, we'll get to that whole Cub Cardinal thing coming up with Benny Cunningham next on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears, providing electricity, natural gas, and home warranty products to over 1 million customers across the country. Learn more about IGS Energy at IGS.com. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Benny Cunningham is our guest, fifth-year running back, first year with the Bears, has already scored a touchdown on one of the more electric plays. I think that's really one of the cool things about the 2017 Bears. You guys have been forced to be creative because of some of the injuries that you've had to endure across the board on the offensive side of things. So on special teams, when Pat O'Donnell, how long had you guys worked on that fake? Pat O'Donnell faking the punt, throwing you the ball? Because while the throw was really good, I thought that the run after the catch was what led to the score.
So I feel like Jeff did a good job of preparing us for that moment. And, you know, Coach just having the faith to call it, you know, at a point like that in a game where if it goes wrong, it's no telling that game may spiral out of control. But, man, we put a lot of time into that fake. like just the right look, the communication, making sure everyone was on the right call. And then just me and Pat just on the side, just kind of making sure we get the throw and catch right. That's the most important part. But I feel like it most definitely worked out for us. And I'm just thankful for the coaches giving us the opportunity to do that at a point like that in the game.
You know, O'Donnell came back to the sideline after that, and he goes, you know, I'm really impressed with myself. And I go, how he goes, I practiced that for like 2 years, just the fake, and you've obviously been added to the mix this year. I go, did it ever look like that in practice? And he goes, no. Is that true?
Yeah, we missed a lot. We missed a lot. And I'm just like, we got to get this together in order for Coach to trust us and eventually call it. So Saturday, during the walkthrough, me and Pat just go to the side with a football and just hammer them out. Just keep going through the mechanics, making sure the throw and catch is right. And I feel like that may have been the difference for us on game day.
But, you know, you can do that 1,000 times. Every day at practice, you can stand off to the side and play catch, and you can make every great catch that's required of you. But now you put it in a game. You got that time where the ball's in the air. Is there anything going through your mind other than make sure you secure this thing first and then, you know, be the playmaker that you are?
Honestly, man, I just feel like the repetition – just built the confidence in both of us or in everybody, you know, within the organization. Just us doing it so many times, I don't remember thinking anything. I just, when I seen the ball, it just became natural just to catch it. The biggest thing within the special teams unit was Coach kind of joking, do not get tackled by a punt returner. So I'm kind of glad that didn't happen. But it just worked out, man. I just feel like the repetition we put in throughout the week, you know, it just worked out for us.
And I misspoke. I said the Pittsburgh game, it was in prime time. It was against Minnesota. So Monday Night Football, your phone must have lit up by the time. When you came back after the game, and I know it stinks because you lost the game and it's a tough loss, but your phone must have blown up because those texts started way before the end of the game.
Yeah, everybody started liking me all of a sudden. had a lot of friends. Really just talk to my family, my mom, who is my biggest fan, win, lose, or draw, good game, bad game. She's going to always treat me the same. So more than anything, man, just want to, you know, enjoy that moment with her. Cause she comes to every home game. She's came to every home game since I've been in the NFL my entire career. Coming to every home game in Chicago, driving, which is like 6-7 hours from Nashville. I just wanted to enjoy that moment with her more than anything, not really worried about, you know, everybody else.
See, that's pretty cool. Benny Cunningham is our guest here on Bears All Access. So you're now in Chicago, and I know when you were in St. Louis, you know, I saw you with the Cardinals gear, you know, then you come here, and obviously the Cubs are a much better team, and now I see you in the Cubs gear. Well, I mean, that can't be it. Did L.A. change you? What happened here?
Man, I just had to I had to embrace the city in order for the city to embrace me. They talked to me a lot when I got here about, you know, how insane the fans were, how amazing the fans were, how amazing the city is. And, you know, I just want to be a part of that more than anything. The restaurants, the deep dish pizzas, the Bulls games, I've been to that, visiting a bean. So I'm just, you know, trying to, you know, embrace the culture here more than anything.
But I asked you before, and I asked you how you enjoyed your experience in Los Angeles, and you said you enjoyed it. So are you going to go home tonight and slip on a Dodgers jersey and sit there and watch the World Series game?
If you ask around the locker room, I probably wear the most Cubs stuff on this roster.
That is true. I can vouch for that because I always see you always got something on.
At the games, I've worn a jersey to the game, the hoodies, the beanies, everything. So I'm most definitely, you know, rooting for the city.
Where were you growing up? Where were your loyalties lie in the sports that you followed?
The Tennessee Titans growing up because, you know, that's the hometown team at the time.
He's from Nashville.
The Lakers, which is – that really hasn't changed. Even though we haven't been too hot lately, still a Lakers fan. But that's pretty much, you know, football and basketball was my thing. And I was a bandwagon Yankees fan.
Right.
Yeah, oh, I got a question based on the whole Lakers thing. So everyone knows what LaVar Ball does. Could you imagine if, you know, let's use your mom as an example. If your mom was talking smack every single time and players wanted to take it out on you.
That wouldn't be too good. That wouldn't be too good. No one really knows, you know, how that family operates, so I really can't speak from that standpoint. They may have an understanding of it's okay. You have the green light, Dad, to say whatever you feel. But Mom knows that's not our thing right there.
Could you imagine that happening in the NFL?
I think, again, reading up on you and some of your stats, they were so impressive coming out of high school from the running back position. What did you score, 60 touchdowns? 60 touchdowns, almost 3,000 yards and stuff. And so there had to be a little bit of hometown confidence going on with your mom and you when you were growing up with what you were able to accomplish at that level and then go on the other side of the ball and play defense.
Different kind of confidence, though. if we said stuff like that, it would probably be between each other. Not for the world to hear about. In a physical game like football, you don't ever really want to have that kind of target on your back. Not to take anything away from basketball, but it's much different when the talk has someone checking you harder than when someone's actually trying to hit you or blitzing or whatever it is.
You know, when I was playing, I always used to think on those days that it's 5 below 0 and it's snowing out there and you're putting on this equipment and you're going to go outside. And you think about basketball players that every day it's 72 degrees. You put on a pair of gym shoes, shorts, a T-shirt, and that's your uniform. So it is a different type of discipline that you have to grow into throughout your career when you travel around a little bit.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like I've kind of adapted. I've learned some things I didn't know coming into the NFL. As far as like just taking care of your body, the time you put in the weight room, the time you put in with film sessions, outside of what's required when you're with the coaches. I feel like that's been the biggest thing for me, adapting to the NFL. And I got to give like a hats off to Zach Stacy. We came into St. Louis together, both as rookies. And even though we were both rookies, like every day I showed up, his car was the first one there. And that's as a rookie. He was the first one in the weight room. His work ethic and me being behind him, it was only one thing I could do to compete with him, and that's match that.
Right.
So I started showing up early. I started putting more time in the film sessions in my body. So hats off to him. I feel like he's most definitely altered my preparation into my career, and I'm thankful for that.
It's good peer pressure.
Yeah, it's a great example to have in front of you.
Benny Cunningham is our guest. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. Much more of the conversation coming up on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Former Bears Spice Adams, Alex Brown, and Lance Briggs team up for the most hilarious Bears podcast out there, and they bring some football knowledge too. Check out Two Guys and a Pro Bowler on iTunes, the official Bears app, chicagobears.com. Or on YouTube. We've got Tom Thayer here, the 85 Bear. I'm Zach Sabin, and our guest for the hour, always entertaining, talking to Benny Cunningham, one of the Bears running backs, first year with the Bears after spending time with the Rams. And I think it's a good comparison to make, because last year the Rams had the number one overall pick in the draft, Jared Goff, and he started the season on the sideline, and then there was that push when the offense wasn't going the way it needed to go. And there were people that felt he was rushed out onto the field, and it didn't look pretty during the year. During the offseason, though, the Rams went out and surrounded him with more weapons, and I think he probably benefited from that experience last year, because clearly he's doing a nice job this year. And Mitchell Trubisky, there were some people that felt that, you know, he was being rushed into the mix. I think the thing, and you've seen it, the thing that impresses me about Trubisky is the poise that he's shown. Only 13 college starts. I mean, right out of the gate, tough defense in Minnesota, tough defense in Baltimore, tough defense with Carolina this past week, and yet he doesn't seem rattled.
I just feel like, repetition is everything in this league. I feel like that's the difference over time for most players, the effort you put into it in your craft and just repping it. No matter how much film you look at, when you go out there on the field, it's probably not going to look the same. It's going to be way faster until you get reps and slow it down for yourself. But I feel like from the quarterback position, referring to Goff and Mitch, and I just feel like it's a little bit of everybody. Whether it's you holding your block for a certain amount of time or receivers running the right route at the right depth. And that's just from the outside looking in, things that they don't get to see. And unfortunately, those guys take the criticism. But everyone plays a part in kind of them being successful. Whether it's running the ball on first down and making it second and five, or the difference between third and twos or third and tens, all of that stuff makes a difference, and everyone has a role in that success. But I've most definitely been impressed with, the time that he puts in. He's probably one of the guys that leaves later than everybody, and you wake up and he's the first one in the building again to get ready to do it all over again.
What do you think about the effect of Hard Knocks on you guys last year at the Rams? Because you have a young quarterback, high-profile draft choice, you have a high running back and stuff. And then it's like in training camp you can never shut it off because now you go to Olivet, you go to practice, you kind of shut it off, go into your dorm room, do your own thing, and then the same thing throughout the evening and then the next day. Every rep that he has in training camp, it's on TV. You know, the things he does well, you can hear coaches congratulating him for. The things he doesn't do so well, you can hear him be criticized for. How does that fit in to a football team's development, a pro or a con, do you think?
For me personally, I don't feel like it was a con, just because I didn't have to deal with it as much. Before a guy like Charles James, who we all know, I feel like it can make certain athletes and put them in a situation. The situation of what he went through was unfortunate, but I feel like it also adds life to a career if you're that bubble guy and you go out and perform and you maybe don't make that team, but the whole world has the opportunity to watch you and see what you can do. For guys like Goff, I really don't know what effect it had on him because I'm not in his shoes, so I wouldn't be able to tell you how he feels about it. But for me, I would say it's a pro.
Well, it was for Eric Kush.
Eric Kush, I thought he did a really nice job with the Rams when he was there. And then I was surprised when they, they showed the cut date and he ended up getting cut and then coming here and performing really well for the Bears in a really important part of the offensive line room. But it's different how, you just can't have that downtime in training camp because somewhere around the corner you turn from the cafeteria to meeting rooms. There's always a live camera going.
I also feel like after a while, you kind of adapt to it. I can't even remember when the cameras were in my face. I feel like that staff, they do a good job of kind of giving you your space. During, the meetings and the workouts and the practices, you're probably not focused on cameras anyway.
Right.
You're locked in. They do a good job of, if you need a camera off, they'll take care of you, get you a camera off. So I feel like they do a good job of respecting space.
I could see Bears with personalities like yourself and Tariq and a young up-and-comer like Mitchell Trubisky and stuff. You could see that, it would be a fun team to highlight throughout training camp.
Oh, yeah. The Hard Knocks crew being at the practices most definitely made the practices go up another level.
Were you surprised at the fan support at Bears training camp? Because when you go out there the first day and there's 14,000 people and there's 8,000 people a day, is that what you expected from everything you heard about the Bears and their support, or was it surprising?
Not surprising at all, most definitely. Kyle Long talked to me about it. Jordan Howard talked to me about it. Even guys like Jeremy Langford and Kadeem just told me, this place, if you do good, they embrace you. So it's a good place to, thrive. And going out to training camp and seeing a result, no surprise here.
You mentioned Kyle Long. You played with his brother Chris in St. Louis before the Rams moved to California. And I remember going back to your best game as a running back, the 109 yards that you had against the Bears. That was a game where Kyle and Chris played each other for the first time. And it was similar to what happened a couple of weeks ago with Marshawn Lynch and Marcus Peters. They're related, and Lynch ran off the side. But this, both were in the game at the same time, and Kyle got upset, and Chris removed Kyle from
kicking someone in the head.
Yeah, because he was in his element. So, what are you thinking while this is going on?
So the first game was my rookie year. The Kyle and Chris incident was, I think, my third year.
Yep.
So the last year I was in St. Louis. But if it's anybody that controlled Kyle, I assume it to be Chris more than anybody else, because once he lets go, he's a hard man to stop, as you can see, how he plays. but Chris is the defensive version of Kyle. Same mentality, same attitude towards the game. Both very passionate. A lot of emotion into the game. So that's just a crazy thing to see. But, we can always set up a little boxing match between the two in the offseason.
I'm telling you. Well, Chris is doing some great things in terms of charity, donating his base salary for educational efforts, which is such a big deal. So I'm sure they'd be willing, as long as you wear those big gloves and no one really gets hurt.
We should probably try to see how that goes. But
well, Kyle's an MMA trainer in the off season, so he may have some hidden skills there that you don't know about.
Man, and think about that, because I don't think there's a position group that benefits more from the interior of the Bears' offensive line. You have three really unique personalities there, because you got Kyle on the right side, you got Cody Whitehair in the middle, and then you've got Josh Sitton on the left side, and you could not have three different body types, three different personalities. It's a unique group.
Oh, yeah, those guys run the operation. This is probably the best offensive line I play with in my life. They just take control. They take control of the game on the sidelines, the motivation. They're a nonstop unit. And it's just good to see those guys, you know, healthy and just working together.
We have to take a timeout. When we come back, you know, you mentioned their personalities. What is Mitchell Trubisky like in the huddle? What is he like on the sidelines during the game? Because the quarterback is the leader, and now you've had three games to kind of see him in action.
He's good at the podium.
He's very good at the podium. It's like he was born to be a leader. And then there's the actual skill on the field. We'll discuss next with Benny Cunningham, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer's here. Did you catch that big smile on Tom's face, Benny, when you started talking about the offensive
line? That's
right. Yeah, he's former right guard. Really
keep that subject up.
Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is orchestrated by CDW. CDW, people who get it. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sadman. Bears running back Benny Cunningham, our guest here on the show. Also want to remind you that this week on Inside the Bears, you think Akeem Hicks, Leonard Floyd, and Roy Robertson Harris scare opposing quarterbacks? Just wait until you see the terror they bring to the unsuspecting at Fright Fest, and hear from streetwear designer Joe Freshgoods on his latest fashion line created in collaboration with the Bears. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sundays at 11:05 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. There are some great Halloween bear stories over the years. Tom, one of my favorites. Do you remember this one? Peanut Tillman dressed up as Chewbacca.
Yes.
And scared the living daylights at the home of one of the Bears' defensive coaches. I'm not going to mention his name.
Bob Babich.
All right, you did. so this was great. This is a few years back, and you know, Peanut meets with Bob Babich's wife, gets another expert. I think Todd Johnson was the guy. He had a video camera right in the driveway, and Peanut hides at the end of the driveway in a Chewbacca costume. And, you know, coaches leave the facility late at night, so Bob Babich parks his car in the driveway and starts walking down the little pathway to get to the front door. And out of nowhere, Peanut, in full costume, now keep in mind, Peanut's, what, about 6'2 in that neighborhood? All of a sudden jumps up and goes, whoa! And needless to say, the head the coach at the time, Babich, was not expecting it. And the reaction that they got filming this thing was unbelievable.
It was a high pitched scream, and he wasn't really happy when they sent it out there and kind of showed it to everybody.
So you know how teams and you have these highlight films that they show in the meeting that before you spoke, and all of a sudden they pop that in the middle of it, and oh man, the rest of the team was dying of laughter.
That's the great
Pranksters.
Thing. I mean, right. That's a great thing about being on the team. I think that's something that creates camaraderie. And when we were talking before, when you're getting criticized or complimented in front of your peers, just like when Benny was talking in front of his peers the night before a game, there's a lot of weird instances of pressure, whether you're getting complimented because, you know, you want to feel good, but and then if you're getting criticized, you don't want it to be too harsh. So all those types of things. That's what's great about being on a team.
I just love the fact that it has to feel good that when you deliver a Rockne speech and the team wins. And then after, because you saw what was happening in the locker room after the game, it wasn't just they were thanking you. In the media, they were talking about the words had an impact on the rest of the team.
Yeah, man, I'm glad it had that effect on the guys because it had that same effect on me when I first heard the same video, the same concept, the same effect that it had on them is what I felt my senior year of college. So I'm glad there was a result of that. But it's also good to know that you're 1-0 as a speaker. You know, so hopefully, you know, they come back to you and give you another opportunity to talk.
Now, who's delivered another speech that's impressed you? One of your teammates?
McPhee.
That was before the Baltimore game. He was returning home, and we got him on the field. We were interviewing him right after the game, and he went into a long-winded explanation of. But basically, he was saying, "I'm trying to clean it up because everyone knows Purnell, so I'm cleaning it up here." But basically, something along like, make sure you You take the keys. Help me explain it.
So he was saying, take the keys. We locked in, basically in a cage match. And just him going back to Baltimore, I just feel like his speech was from the heart, a lot of passion. And he wanted guys to just kind of step away from the X's and O's for a minute and just enjoy the game. Because you get so caught up in what's going on that you never get the opportunity to just say, I'm in the NFL. And that was like one of his exact quotes. He was just staring, just thinking off and just kind of just, I'm in the NFL. And, you know, we just really just sometimes take it for granted. You really don't appreciate it like you should. So it was good to just hear that and, you know, have guys really just, you know, embrace the moment.
He doesn't work on the buddy system, Purnell. I mean, that guy's legit. I saw there's a couple times he had a chance to hit ex-teammates in that Baltimore game. And, I mean, and he came and he was bringing it. And, you know, I think that's while Purnell McPhee has been so respected around here with his teammates, because the first day he came here and was at training camp, I remember talking to Zach Miller and the tight end saying, boy, you guys better bring it, because Purnell practices for real. And I think even when he brought it back to Baltimore, it wasn't, you know, this isn't the buddy system and a bring your union card out. This is legit stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah, he most definitely does. And not only does he practice like that, he requires the people on the field with him to practice the same way. So if you're out there trying to do the buddy system, it's not happening. And especially if he sees you, it's most definitely not happening. So, you know, I feel like he just understands that you need that. The Bears on Bears time we have on practice, you need it. To not go into Sunday's rusty because you're kind of going on scout, you're kind of trying to take care of certain guys because of body issues or whatever it may be, that Bears on Bears segment is full go.
Just keep this in mind, that since that speech by McPhee, the Bears have 6 takeaways and 3 defensive touchdowns. So it's resonated. And you know who I think also benefited from it? Mitchell Trubisky. Because the first month of the season, he was running the look squad, the scout team, against the number one defense, featuring some of the guys that McPhee's trying to fire up, including Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks, and all those guys. That has to make you better.
Most definitely. I feel like that's kind of the role I've had throughout my years, going against the scout team, and I enjoy it. I enjoy, you know, trying to block Sam Acho coming off the edge because it's going to prepare me for Sunday. Or getting hit by Danny, or getting hit by Q Demps. Just going against those guys makes you better. Iron sharpens iron. You know, that's been a saying for years and years and years. And it's true. And the proof is in the pudding with the results that these guys are having on Sundays.
Do you remember back in your career the first time that your talent got recognized? Because, you know, it is about that. It is about making a play on special teams. It is about running the look squad and making a big play or a big hit, a nice run or something. So do you remember when you were recognized that, wow, this guy's got the talent and he deserves to be here?
Well, I feel like the Rams organization kind of recognized it just to give me the opportunity to come into camp and ultimately compete for a roster spot. But I would unfortunately have to say – it was against the Bears, because Zach Stacy ended up going down in the first half with the injury, and the coach just came up to me like, "You got the second half," and I'm just like, "What do you mean I have the second half?" Like, and you know, I was just ready because I had been going against our starting defense, a tough starting defense all season. So when I had the opportunity and my number was called, I was prepared for that moment.
Right, there's not a lot of notification when your time is up. I mean, it's a matter of someone tweaking something and coming up and saying, "Hey, Benny, you're in."
And just keep in mind, that was a defense that did not have Aaron Donald back then. Imagine what they're like now. You know, he could be maybe the best defensive player in football. That's how good he is. So give us the inside scoop on Mitchell Trubisky. In the huddle, on the sideline, the things that we don't see.
I just feel like Mike and Mark do a good job of, I would say, almost grooming him in a sense. He's never really out there alone. Those guys tell him everything they see, the things to be prepared for throughout the week. And you just kind of see his confidence grow. Just coming in the huddle, he demands the leadership. He demands the attention of the guys in the huddle. He demands you to run extra routes, too. If you don't catch a ball at practice, you can bet you're going to stay after and make sure that timing and that catch gets made before Sunday. So when you see things like that from a young guy, it's easy to get behind them, to know that they put a lot into it and respect them.
Well, it makes me respect Glennon and Sanchez because, you know, the different hands that they were dealt throughout their NFL career. You take one road or the other. You know, when you do have everybody committed to making sure the next guy and everybody else is well prepared, I like to hear that about Glennon and Sanchez.
Yeah, those are most definitely selfless guys. No telling what a lot of guys would have done if they were in the shoes of those guys. But to see them continue their leadership role in this team and kind of make sure Mitch is prepared on Sundays is impressive.
Man, I had fun this hour.
Me too.
Hopefully we can have you back at some point later on in the season. Benny Cunningham was our guest for the hour. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabeman saying thank you for listening to Bears All Access, live from Halas Hall, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Chicago Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and PNC.